Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hello, friends. Welcome to episode number 111 in our Double Down on Your Recovery Challenge. I'm bringing you double the episodes, double the support, double the strategies so you can double down on your efforts and build your sobriety to be strong. If we haven't met yet, I'm your coach, Angela Pugh, here to help you get that sober and happy life you want, all in 10 to 15 minutes a day. That's what we're all about. Daily commitment, short and sweet, easy strategies so you can stop spinning your wheels, not knowing what to do, and feeling like it's Groundhog Day because you're ending up back at day one over and over again. Today, we're going to talk about six ways to avoid relapse. And these are going to be real, tangible action steps. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, no BS here. I'm going to break this down as easy as humanly possible so you know exactly what to do. I'm taking the guesswork out of it. Also, for those of you that have been with me a while, I think you have probably figured out that my brain works a little bit differently. So usually a lot of the things that I talk about, like how life coaching and recovery makes sense to me, is a little bit different. So I don't talk much about a lot of the things that you find if you Google this stuff. I tend to have just a little bit different perspective on things. And this episode is going to be very much the same. So I want to, before we go down the rabbit hole, I want to say a couple of quick things. There has been some confusion about the Inner Circle membership site, and I probably owe you guys a bit of an amends, honestly, because I don't want to be selling products to you all the time, and I think trying to be mindful of not being salesy, what happens is I don't give you enough information, so you don't know what's going on or what is available to you, so I'm going to break this down really simple. Here's the breakdown. I only offer three products. Very simple. You can buy individual coaching with me, you can buy my online course, or you can join the membership site. That's all. And as I map out like what products I want to offer, I try to be very mindful to provide options for people at every price point. The membership site is only $25 a month. That's it. It's $6.25 a week. Please do not tell me you can't afford $6 a week, because I guarantee you, you are spending way more than that on booze and cigarettes and cable TV, okay? If you want to prioritize booze and cigarettes and cable TV over your recovery, that's your business. But please don't tell me you can't afford it. Stop buying wine and you'll be able to afford lots of things. And then the online course. The online course is called the Starter Kit and it's under $300. Totally private, on your own time, at your own pace. It's completely online. You log in. There are video modules that walk you through it. You don't even have to get dressed for this thing. I think it's $249 is all it is. And coaching is a little more expensive because I've invested more than a decade of my life and $100,000 in my training and education and experience. I'm very good at what I do, and my time is limited. So spending personal, individual time with people, working through struggles and overcoming barriers and talking and texting. I mean, we text a lot. That level of commitment for me is reserved for the people who are also committed and ready to get their hands dirty and show up and do the work with me. Those are the only options. Someone wrote a comment in the Facebook group a couple weeks ago that they thought the Inner Circle membership was $2,000 to join. The membership is not $2,000, my friends. It is $25. That's it. You get two recovery meetings a week. And here's a big announcement, actually. I may as well go ahead and just tell you now. I'm actually getting ready to add a third meeting each week. So you'll have three opportunities a week to be in a fun and supportive recovery conversation. You get a constant flow of motivation and support in the inner circle. We have private chat where we all support one another throughout the day. There's a monthly mantra, a monthly piece about 12 steps, video guests talking about recovery. All of my Facebook Live videos will be posted in there. It's a lot, and it's only $25 a month. Not $2,000, but 25 whole dollars. Okay. I just wanted to clear all that up because I don't want you guys to be confused. And what I've realized is by me shying away from talking about my products, all I'm doing is creating more confusion. And I have to get over that. And I know many of you are not ready to spend money and buy programs. And I get that. But there are just as many of you who are totally ready to make a commitment and invest in yourself, and I'm failing you because I'm not giving you the information, and I apologize. I will be better about that. I know, too, many of you look at different programs, and you think about it for a long time before you actually make a commitment, and it's even more important that I give you clarity in that time. So you can also schedule a free consultation with me if you have questions. Like, I'm happy to clarify anything that you're curious about, if you're thinking about working with me, and I can get you started right on that consultation myself. I can get you started right there. So you can join the membership, buy the online course, or buy coaching with me. That's all I got. And it's all at www.myrecoverytoolbox.com. Of course, I will link that in the show notes because I want you to have all the resources. www.myrecoverytoolbox.com. And of course, for all the freebie hunters, I give you podcasts and checklists and cheat sheets and blogs and articles and live videos, all free. There's a ton of free content. All right, are we ready to dive down the relapse rabbit hole? I want to get into this for real because I don't want you to feel like you're out of control in this part of things. I want you to feel empowered and know that you have the ability to make choices that will directly and immediately impact your life and get you where you want to be. You know you're out of control when you're drinking, right? Alcohol is definitely in control in that time. But when you have a period of sobriety, you've detoxed and you've gone through the initial withdrawal process, at that point, you have regained some control. And first, let me be clear for anyone who is really new to this, alcohol withdrawal is very dangerous. It's one of the only withdrawal processes you can die from. So be aware that it is best to do this with medical supervision. And withdrawal is what we consider the first several days without a drink, right? You wake up Saturday morning, hungover, feeling like death. You've decided you had enough. You can't live like this anymore. You're not having another drink. And as your liver processes and filters the alcohol out of your body and you don't drink more, you're going to start going into withdrawal. And this is a different experience for everyone for a million different reasons. Every single one of us has different body chemistry. We react to things differently. We have different sensitivities and genetic and hereditary things. And also what our drinking habits were. Some people may only drink 4 glasses of wine 3 days a week. I drank 30 drinks a day, but I never drank in the morning or in the middle of the night. And some people actually wake up in the middle of the night and have to have a drink because they're going into withdrawal. This is funny. This is a crazy experience. I used to have this too. Have you ever wondered why you wake up early, like after a night of drinking? You think you would be so hungover that you would just sleep through the day. And sometimes that's the case, right? I definitely had plenty of those days. But sometimes you wake up really early and you're like, what the F? Like, why am I up so early after the night I just had? Well, you're up early because your brain is going through withdrawal and it gets irritated, so it wakes you up to signal it's time for another drink. This is where that saying, hair of the dog, comes from. Because a hangover is just withdrawal, by the way. That's all it is. And the only thing that can make withdrawal go away is another drink. Hence, hair of the dog. So the first like 7 to 10 days is withdrawal or acute withdrawal, which means immediate. Acute means immediate. Most material and stuff that you read will say 5 to 7 days. I say a full 10 because there are some tricky things happening on your insides, some biology taking place, and there's a little danger zone around days 4 to 7. And even after that, you're typically still really foggy and tired and have zero motivation. But this is a dangerous situation, and I always recommend going to a detox facility or go to your local ER, at least let them check your vitals, make sure you're okay, or even schedule an appointment with your regular doctor and just let your doctor know what's going on so they can monitor you appropriately. And sometimes they'll give you meds like for nausea and things like that. So anyway, once you're in this part and you continue not taking a drink every day, you are regaining some control. You're doing the hardest part of not having a drink. At this stage of the game, after withdrawal and getting some rest and getting a few days of food in you, you have to continue not having a drink. And this is where the challenge comes in. We've talked about many strategies in the 100-plus episodes we've done together. And I'm going to talk about some of those that we've talked about before. And I'm going to really highlight some different things here too. Because I think we need to talk strategy in an even earlier stage of the game, you know, those first few weeks. Or this is good too if you feel like your recovery game is slipping a little bit, right? You want to get recommitted. If you're in that place where you can see you're starting to fall off on some of your rituals and you know it's not good, but you aren't necessarily doing anything to fix it either, this is a great time to sit back, let all this soak in, and light a little fire under your little buns, okay? And the absolute truth is, if you don't want to drink, you will do the things necessary to not drink. But if you're sitting back making excuses for yourself, watching yourself slide off the ledge, letting each thing go one by one, like first you start slipping on journaling, then you're not connecting with others in AA or in our tribe, then you stop doing the readings you like, then you start talking to or hanging out with some of your old drinking pals a little more, then you hear the committee getting louder, telling you, you weren't really that bad. You definitely weren't as bad as some of those people. You can have just one or two drinks. You'll be able to control it now. Man, won't it feel good to just have one drink? You've worked hard all week. You deserve to be able to unwind on a Friday night. That's all the trash the committee talks, right? So you're slowly slipping on all these little activities that are actually exactly the things that make you strong, but you start slipping. Then you hear the committee getting louder and louder, and you make the choice to not tell anyone that the committee is getting louder and louder. You keep it to yourself. This is a big relapse choice. Feeding your addiction, because you know the committee is effing with you, but you don't tell anyone because you don't want to be accountable to anyone. That's the very moment you should know you're going to drink again. Because if you don't want to drink for real, you'll reach out to someone immediately and say, holy shit, dude, the committee is coming on strong. You know, like, I don't know what's going on, but it's chattering away, right? If you don't create accountability for yourself and protect yourself, the choice you are making is to protect your option to drink, period. And the very moment you protect your option to drink, it's just a matter of time before a drink's in your hand. This is the stuff we talked about in the episode, Is Relapse a Choice? The choice is in all the little tiny decisions you make leading up to having a drink in your hand. letting your healthy routines slide, not creating accountability for yourself, not connecting with people, isolating. These are the conscious choices you're making before drinking that are leading you straight to the drink, feeding your addiction rather than feeding your recovery. So let's start at ground zero. You're either super early in recovery or your recovery needs a little kick in the buns. Okay, let's do this. Number one, what's your vision? You've heard me talking about this a lot recently. What's your vision? What do you really want? Get specific. Have milestones not only to achieve, but to celebrate. And it has to excite you. You aren't going to do anything or follow through on any action if you aren't excited about the change and excited about the possibilities. Who do you want to be? What do you want to do? What do you want to experience? What do you want to contribute? What do you really desire most? And what is the map that will get you there? We'll get into that in a minute. If you don't know what your vision is, then I want you to spend a few minutes daydreaming. Daydream of the possibilities of what your life could look like and the person you could be. Don't get caught up with the committee telling you you can't do it, right? You can't travel because you can't afford it. Don't even let any of those thoughts creep in. Just daydream. What will your life look like if you had everything you want and you were the person you dream of being? What does that look like? Who is that person? That's your vision. Write those things down. Don't just listen to this episode and think about it and don't take action. Do it. Take action. Write these things down. Your action will equal your results. Not hope. Hope doesn't change anything. You can hope all you want. There is no magic that will bring you what you hope for. Taking action will get you what you hope for. And for those of you in the Inner Circle membership, I'm going to post a video that's a guided visualization that will really help you with that daydreaming piece, right? And imagine the possibilities. You can find that in your member portal. Let's make this a little easier with the next one. This will help you with your vision and your action. Reasons. You need reasons to follow through. And they have to be strong reasons. Remember our procrastination episode? One of the reasons we procrastinate is because we don't see value in the small actions that get us to the big result, right? The small actions feel mundane or unimportant or boring. There's no instant gratification in the small actions, and we are instant gratification people. But you can't have the big life-changing moments without all the small actions. So attach your reasons to the small actions. You aren't quitting drinking because you want to be miserable and overwhelmed with feelings. You're quitting drinking so you can be a better human, so you can be the parent your children need and deserve, so you can be a better child to your parents, so you can smile at the person you see in the mirror instead of hating them and abusing them. You take the small actions every day so you can pull yourself out of the drunken, hungover, ashamed, and humiliated rut, so you can get back on solid ground where you can learn how to make better choices and have a better life and be a better person. What are your reasons for taking the small actions? This attaches to your vision. What are the small daily actions that get you closer to your vision? If your vision is you want to be an honest person, then your action is to make a commitment to stop lying. Then your reasons are when you stop lying, your sobriety gets easier. You feel better about yourself. You begin to regain the trust of the people around you, and your anxiety gets way, way, way less. Throughout your day, when you catch yourself wanting to tell a little white lie or a really big lie, Take a second and see your vision. See that person you want to be. Then think about the reasons you want to stop lying so your sobriety feels easier. Your self-esteem goes up so your partner will trust you. Then don't tell the lie. I've shared with you before that I have a bit of a temper. I am a very kind and patient person. I'm also a very direct person with high standards, and I don't have many buttons, but if one gets pushed, you will definitely see a different side of me. And this was something I had to work hard on, like not reacting so quickly, because when I was an unhealthy person, I couldn't self-regulate, right? And everybody got a piece of my meanness and my temper. So when I was newly sober, I knew this was something I had to get a handle on, because I was really, if I'm just keeping it 100, totally honest, I was verbally abusive. I had people in my life when I was growing up that were verbally abusive people, and I picked up all those behaviors. All of that is learned behavior, by the way. You're not born with that. That was learned behavior for me. And the great news with learned behavior is you can unlearn it. You can learn new behavior. And abusive is the last word I would ever want to use to describe myself. So I knew I needed to get it together and grow up. I don't need to throw a temper tantrum the moment something doesn't go my way or you say something I don't want to hear, right? It's time to be an adult now. So my vision was Oprah. When I sat down with pen and paper and got clear on my vision, Oprah was the visual representation of my vision. Strong, powerful, humble, honest, driven, hardworking, kind, generous, super smart, an incredible communicator. So she was the picture that would pop in my head. And just when I would be getting ready to throw a temper tantrum, my little picture of Oprah would pop in my head and I would go, this is not how Oprah would handle this. And in that split second, it would make me recalibrate. In a split second, it would change my attitude and my actions to match my vision of who I wanted to grow into. See how that works? This is what I practiced on a daily basis to build my patience, to get my temper in check, to be a kinder and more patient person. Because the truth is, we all know the difference between right and wrong. You know when you're doing something that isn't right or isn't nice. You know your own shortcomings. You have those moments when you think, oh man, I did it again. I wish I didn't do that. Or I wish I wouldn't have said that. I totally overreacted again. You know these things about yourself. And that makes it your responsibility to reshape those habits to be better, to be a person you're proud of. And this leads me right into the next one. Have an action plan. You know what actions you have to take on a regular basis to be happy and healthy. You know what works for you. Notice I didn't say what feels good to you. I said, you know what works for you. I've given you a million of these actions in this podcast, so make a list. For me, number one is my mindset. I have to work on my mindset every single day so I can be nice to people, because sometimes that's a struggle for me. Also, so I can stay positive, even in the midst of scary times, I have to stay positive. I have to work on my mindset to be kind to myself, because that can be a struggle sometimes too. Mindset for me is always first. Another one, I have to have a tribe of other alcoholics. And I've created tribes in a few different ways, right? Through 12-step meetings, of course, through our Facebook group, through our private chat with the Inner Circle members. I have tribes of people that understand me and my crazy thinking. This is not optional. A tribe is not optional. It is absolute necessity. So those are two things on my action plan. Podcasts, books, being of service, exercise, all of those are on my action plan. Not just gathering knowledge endlessly, okay? I want you to really hear this. Podcasts, books, videos, that's all great. You have to have knowledge, but don't get caught up in gathering the knowledge and not taking action, because you won't accomplish anything. You hear me say this all the time. Knowing what to do isn't what's holding you back. Doing it is what's holding you back. That's why we hire coaches. It's not because I don't know what to do. I mean, a professional coach will definitely know more and get me farther in whatever their expertise is. But the majority of that relationship is valuable because it gets me into action to take what I know and go do it. I see this so often in life, in business, in sobriety. People will spend countless hours reading books and reading all the comments in the Facebook group and listening to the podcast. And they think that's taking action, but it's only part of it. Learning more about the issue is great. Getting a deeper understanding is necessary. And then you have to make a commitment to change and you have to create an action plan. You aren't going to get sober just because you're holding a sober book in your hand or listening to a sober podcast in your earbuds. Just like you won't get sober by going to meetings and just sitting in the room. You have to take action. All of these things are a great start, a great step in the right direction. Then you have to keep stepping the right direction. Knowing doesn't get you anywhere. Action does. Your action will equal your result. Next one, 80-20 rule. I put this in here because I want you to understand the importance of prioritizing. The 80-20 rule is simple and it applies to everything. 80% of my success is going to come from 20% of my actions. In business, 80% of my problems will come from 20% of my customers. 80% of revenue will come from 20% of your customers. 80% of success stories will come from 20% of your customers. If I have an action list of 10 things, two of those things are going to be my power players. 20% will get me the most growth and reward. For me, it's mindset work and exercise. Those are the two things that bring me the greatest results that get me closest to the growth I'm going for and the life I'm building. Now, my action list is way bigger than 10 things, and I want yours to be also. And be mindful that 20% of the things will bring you 80% of the joy and happiness and growth. Just like 80% of your connection will come from 20% of your friends. 80% of your results will come from 20% of the workouts you do. Don't expect every single thing on your action list to knock it out of the park every time. You're going to have a few things that really resonate with you and work for you, and you prioritize those things. 80% of your recovery will come from 20% of the things you do. There are times that I rely really heavily on journaling. If I have things going on in my life, I'm feeling overwhelmed, or if I'm scared about the future, if I have a big business decision I have to make, or if I have too many things on my plate and I have to prioritize them because I'm going to have to decline some opportunities, I have to get really clear on my vision, my desire, my intentions, and journaling gets me that clarity. So there are times that I rely really heavily on journaling. Other times, maybe it's meetings. Maybe I need to be in the rooms and soaking up all that love and positive energy. This is why I want you to have a whole list of action steps, because the 20% that will save your ass will change in different times of your life when you're facing different situations. When my anxiety gets high, I exercise more because exercise is proven to be more effective than anti-anxiety meds or probably anything else. So I exercise. The next one, be consistent. This is huge. You know why I say it only takes 10 to 15 minutes a day to change your life? That's like my tagline, all in only 10 to 15 minutes a day, because it's the truth. It's the truth because it's not about what you do in that 10 to 15 minutes a day. It's that you have the dedication to consistently show up for yourself every day. I believe this is one of the most valuable aspects of being a part of the 12-step community. It's not because we're doing anything magical in that room or we're drinking cult juice It's because I walked in the door with a level of dedication and commitment that I showed up consistently every day for myself. You hear people say when you stop going to meetings, you relapse. It's not necessarily about the meetings. It's about your commitment. When your commitment starts to fall, then your consistency starts to fall. And if you aren't consistent, you won't grow. All the behaviors and habits we work so hard to change, they will change back to the unwanted way if we don't stay fully committed to the new habit and behavior. You hear it all the time. You work so hard to get to a place where you're exercising 5 days a week and you're super committed and you feel great. And the first time you decide to skip the gym just once makes it easier to talk yourself into skipping again next week. Then twice the week after that. And before you know it, you're back into being a person that hasn't been to the gym in 3 months. This is human nature. The same theory applies when the committee tells you you can have just one drink. You know better. And if you allow yourself to give in and have just one, then it's easier to allow yourself to have another, and then three or four. And then you find yourself right back where you started. So it's not necessarily about the meetings or AA. It's more about your commitment to your sobriety. Making the decision to go to a meeting, planning it in your day, making it a priority, driving there and sitting for an hour, that's your commitment to your sobriety. That's how you tell the committee this is important and this is what we are focused on right now, recovery. It's the same thing with our online meetings, right? I can see the people that sign up and don't show up, right? That has nothing to do with my meeting or my way of doing things, right? It has nothing to do with me. That's that person's level of commitment and consistency, and they just haven't gotten there yet. AA is just the cheat sheet. AA takes all the necessary components of sobriety and personal development, emotional maturity and growing up, and it just puts them all in one room. So I didn't have to run around the world trying to piece together the plan that works for me. All I had to do was show up and listen. I was telling you in an episode a couple of weeks ago that no one is going to show up at your door with a life in the box. Remember that? Like, you have to go out and build your life and put some energy into it. AA is the closest thing you'll get to a life in a box, okay? Because they already did all the work and put it all in one place. I would say Smart Recovery and Celebrate Recovery are probably exactly the same. They just have everything in one place. You have a program to follow that shows you how to live a healthy life and become a person of integrity. You have friends to connect with who will love you and accept you despite your trauma and drama, because we love each other on a whole new level. You have people to hang out with and laugh with. You have somewhere to go to hang out and have laughs. You have guidance. You get a mentor. It's unfreaking believable. There's no extraordinary magic in there. It's just a bunch of people who are super dedicated to getting their shit together. And a handful of people who want to wallow in self-pity and play the victim role. And those people are everywhere too. I'm sure you have them at your office. I met one at the gym just the other day. First conversation ever with this person. In the first 45 seconds, she was telling me every problem she ever had. Talk about sucking all the energy out of a room. Anyway, the point is, it's not about the meetings. It's about your level of commitment to continued healing and growth. And the act of going to meetings is a huge declaration of commitment and consistency. Next, protect yourself. Don't test yourself. If you know you have a time of day that's hard for you, then you need to have something specific planned for that time of day. Or if you have a day of the week that is challenging, then you intentionally make plans on that day. If it's Friday at 5 p.m., then schedule something at that time. A phone call with a friend, an activity with your kids, a meeting or connecting with your tribe, a coffee date with someone, a walk or run or a workout, whatever it is. You plug it into that time slot you know is difficult for you. Don't think about it all week long, putting it off, saying you'll plan something later, then be surprised when Friday 5 p.m. rolls around and you're overwhelmed and struggling with no idea what to do. I don't care if you have to show up to a meeting a few minutes late or if you have to leave a few minutes early because you have to get home for the kids and dinner and everything else. Plug something into that time frame that you know is difficult for you. It may be an activity with your family. Maybe that's what's challenging. So take some action. Have some safeguards in place to protect yourself during that time. Go back and listen to the episode about staying sober in social situations and utilize that list of things I gave you in there. Have someone from your sober tribe on text so you can be talking to them and joking about the drunken fools in your family. Or you can send them pics of the festivities and share your time and just distract the committee from the difficulties. Or set a specific amount of time you're going to stay. Decide in advance that you're only staying 90 minutes. Have your reason for leaving already prepared before you walk in the door. There are a million things you can say as to why you need to take off early, but protect yourself. All these little micro decisions are protecting yourself, right? So if I'm only going to stay 90 minutes, the first thing I do as soon as I walk in the door and I'm saying hi to everybody is like, oh my gosh, so good to see you guys. I wish I could stay longer, but I've only got about an hour or so. So they know, there's no question. Maybe it's a vacation that's challenging. Maybe you've got a vacation coming up and it's going to be really hard and you want a separate, sober place to sleep. Then do that. You don't owe anyone an explanation. You can join your people super early in the morning the next day. But if you want to sleep in a safe place, then make those arrangements. Whatever your situation is, protect yourself. Don't say, oh, I'm going to test myself and see how well I do. I can probably handle it. I'm strong enough. Then all of a sudden you're in a situation you don't want to be in, and all it does is make you feel bad about yourself. If you told yourself you're strong enough, then you get uncomfortable, then you're going to tell yourself you aren't strong. And that's not the case at all. There are things that happen in your brain that you can't control. Being strong is not putting yourself in a situation to begin with. That's being strong. Just don't put yourself there. Okay, let's recap. What's your vision? Who do you want to be? What do you want to do? What do you want to experience? What do you want to contribute? Reasons. You're quitting drinking so you can be a better human, so you can be a better parent to your children, so you can be a better child to your parents, so you can like yourself again. Have an action plan. You need a list of things, tools in your toolbox, so you can get into action in a moment's notice. What are the actions you need to take daily to get you where you want to be? And don't forget the 80-20 rule. Know that you will get 80% of your growth from 20% of your actions, meaning you have a long list of actions on your action plan, and 20% of those are going to take you to the next level. Figure out what your 20% is right now. Where does your focus need to be right now? What part of your recovery? Do you need to focus on building your tribe? Then put your energy into that. Maybe you need to get your head right. Get rid of negativity. So put your focus into that. Just know that your action list needs a lot of tools on it. And those tools will play together, and different ones will be more important at different times. But the point is not to do all of them every single day. Okay? I hear this a lot. People will tell me like their morning routine or their workout plan, and it's this extensive thing that would be overwhelming for the most disciplined person on the planet. It's definitely too much for an undisciplined alcoholic, right? I have a long list of actions, and prioritize which things are most important to you right now, in this moment, and focus there. Don't try to have a morning routine that takes 2 hours with 15 actions. It's not sustainable. You could do it for a while, but remember, we're going for consistency. And that's next, consistency. You change your whole life in 10 to 15 minutes a day, not because you're doing 20 things and doing them perfectly, but because you've made a commitment to show up for yourself every single day for 10 to 15 minutes at a time. And that's going to get you way farther than the hit and miss, making a plan and only showing up once a week or once a month, or, you know, doing your plan and you do it great for 10 days and then you fall off and don't do it at all, right? Consistency. Commit consistently and show up. Last, protect yourself. One of my greatest keys to success is understanding my limitations. I have to know how to work around the things that I'm not great at. I have to hire people to do that stuff, or I have to figure out a life hack to make things simple and achievable. I have to ask for help when I need it. I have to love me and protect me because nobody else will do it as well as me. I am not anyone else's responsibility. I'm mine. So I have to have boundaries. I have to be willing to walk away from some activities, and I have to make sure I don't put myself in situations I don't want to be in. Okay? How's that? How'd we do? That's a lot of good information to make sure you're doing the right things, moving the right direction to feed your recovery instead of feeding your addiction. You don't have to relapse. It doesn't have to be part of your story. It doesn't have to be part of your story anymore. Take those experiences and lessons and see how you can improve your plan. See where you can do better or try harder. Utilize more resources and people. Okay? Connect with us. We have an incredible tribe full of love and support. And I'll put all the necessary links in the show notes for you. Join us in the inner circle for weekly recovery meetings and our private chat. I will link that in the show notes, as well as how to work with me privately and how to join the Facebook group. Again, incredible support, full of love. I love our Facebook groups, one of my favorite places to hang out. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day. I hope you loved this bonus episode. We're going to keep it rocking, double down on your recovery. I'm going to keep rolling with the double episodes and double the support and double the tools. And you keep rolling with double the actions. Okay? Have a fantastic day, you guys. I'll see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.